You are listening to The Perks of Being a Book Lover, a show featuring two friends who've been in the same book club for almost 20 years.
I'm Carrie, and unlike my co-host Amy, I do not whip out my phone and use the Seek app to discover every single flower species in Southern California.
All right.
Even pictures of her seeking every single flower species in Southern California.
They're so different than what we have here. What can I say? I'm Amy. My co-host Carrie is a super ordered and efficient person, but she surprised me recently because apparently she has a secret life. Her vacuum cord looks like a ball of yarn a cat has gotten hold of. Mine looks like that too, but I thought she was more evolved than me. Apparently not.
Not when it comes to cords. I don't care. Basically, we're opposites, but we find common ground on our shared love of books. Each week, we chat about what we're reading with each other and sometimes a special guest or two.
We also dabble in other topics like books in the news, recent book-inspired films, our TBR counts, and general things that tease our brains. We're so glad you're joining us today.
So we interact with book publicists pretty often, but a few months ago, one of them, Sammy Lean, emailed and asked for recommendations about things to do in Kentucky around Derby. She explained that she is in a travel book club. They read books over the course of 12 months about a particular U.S. location and then take a trip to visit. The novel Horse by Geraldine Brooks was the book that inspired this particular trip for their club.
Well, we love books and travel, so we had to invite Sammy and her book club friend Marilyn to be guests on the show. We had a great time learning about the ins and outs of their travel book club and are excited to get to meet them this Friday at a restaurant about an hour outside of Louisville called the Holly Hill Inn in Midway. Their chef is actually a James Beard nominee. This episode sounds more like a bunch of girls chatting, you know, a bunch of, you know,
hens,
ladies at a book club than it does an actual interview. But we had a super fun time with them. And if you would like to see the full list of books they read this year preparing to travel to Kentucky and the Derby, you can find the list in the show notes. But first, Carrie, we had a rip-roaring time in Los Angeles.
Well, that particular description might not be so accurate. There were several naps involved.
Okay. As rip roaring as we get.
Okay. There we go. Let's qualify that a bit. Yes, we did. We had a lovely time. It's funny when we go on these trips, going there, we are like chatty and excited. And then coming back, we don't talk to each other. We barely look at each other. We're not mad at each other, but we're just like, okay, out of energy. I'm done.
That's right. I need my own house, my own bed, my own shower. You were probably more so than me because the place we stayed was very cute and it was just about perfect for our needs. The only downside was, and it was like a guest house, there was one bed on the main floor, and then there was a bed in a loft area. And if you look at the pictures, it looks like the steps are fairly substantial. But once you're up there, it's fine. But getting up there and down, I think, was a little precarious.
Well, actually, not so much the getting up, the getting down. In the middle of the night when it's dark and your 50-year-old bladder has to go. Actually, one night, I think I fell down the last four steps. I sort of dodged a bullet that I didn't like twist an ankle or anything. And at that point, I was like, I think I'm taking my phone with me and also going down these steps on my butt. That worked much better.
But there were some very cool things about this guest house. It was in a neighborhood called Brentwood, which apparently it is a very nice area to live. There are lots of stars who live in this area. But the guest house of the house we stayed at had been used to film scenes in Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David. And the house that they use as his house is on the street that we stayed on. So that was very cool. And our hostess sent us pictures of when they had filmed some scenes in the backyard, but the front door. And so that was all very cool because I have a lot of Curb Your Enthusiasm fans in my family. So I got some street cred by sending those pictures to them.
And we met up with our friend Jennifer Calieras. She's the host of the Books Are My People podcast. And we met up with her on Friday, the day we arrived. And she recommended a place we could meet for lunch. And Amy got to sit by somebody famous. Which was
I did. I was so nervous. We saw George Stephanopoulos in the restaurant that we went to for lunch, and we were seated at this table right next to him, and there wasn't a lot of room between the tables, and I was really nervous about getting too close to him. I didn't ask him for an autograph. I didn't say hello. I didn't make eye contact with him, but I did sit next to him.
We wanted to be cool. We didn't want to be like complete idiots because, you know, I imagine if you live in Los Angeles, you see celebrities or stars all the time. In Louisville, Kentucky, not so much.
I think actually he was in Los Angeles for the Los Angeles Festival of Books because he has a new book out and he was speaking there. So, you know, we were there all for the same reason. We could have said, hey, you doing the book festival too? Or something. I don't know. So anyway, but Jennifer was lovely. Her husband was our chauffeur and took us down to the book festival, which was on the campus of USC. And then he picked us up and took us back. And when we got back, he had a lovely charcuterie spread laid out for us. It was some wine and we had the best evening in their backyard.
We got to see her chickens.
Yes, she has chickens and they're so pretty. And I kind of wanted to pet one, but they didn't seem to be amenable. So, you know, I guess chickens don't really like to be pet. I don't know. I'm not familiar with chickens, but
I mean, I did squat down and one of them came to investigate me. But, you know, it's not like with a cat or a dog, they sort of head bump you. Well, when a chicken does that to you, it's pecking you. So I was like, OK, I'm going to stand up now.
Yeah, so that's no fun. No one wants to be pecked by a chicken.
You know, they can't do the same kind of gentle maneuvering that a dog or a cat does.
Yeah, I guess that's so true. Anyway, it was a delight. I would definitely go back. I'd like to take my husband back and do some things there. But the thing that we ended our trip on was we took a hike at the Will Rogers State Park, which is right in the Los Angeles area. And we had a wonderful hike up to Inspiration Point that was on the top. And you had this view below, although it was overcast that day. So, you know, it looked more misty, which is also kind of cool. But on our way back, we were coming down the canyon and this lady and a gentleman yelled, "Stop! There's a snake!
There's a rattlesnake!" I sort of wish somebody had been videotaping our reaction to this, because in my head, this rattlesnake was directly under our feet. Now, as it turned out, it was probably 10, 15. I'm not good at gauging distances, but it was a bit in front of us. You know, they stopped us before we got close. But you and I, we didn't exactly jump into each other's arms, but we sort of tried to, and we were grabbing at each other and hopping and squealing. I actually yesterday tried to do a dramatic reenactment of this for my mother-in-law and my husband, and it was pretty funny. So anyway, that's how we reacted to a rattlesnake. And the lady was like, "Should I go get a park ranger?" And we're like, "We don't even live here. We don't know." And so this snake was just, it was stretched out on the trail. And
it looked like a stick from where we were standing. Right, it just looked like a stick. But
and the guy was like, he had been throwing like pebbles at it to try to get it to move. Eventually, the snake moved. But there for a minute, I thought we would maybe die on this trail with the snake who was never going to move. I was just envisioning we're going to die here. We're going to dehydrate. You know, none of those things happened. We made it home. No problem. The snake, we waited until he was fully on the other side in the grass. We could not see him, but then you have never seen, we grabbed each other and we ran like the Dickens.
he had us at a standstill. We couldn't go forward.
It
we
was
had
an
to wait. It was an impasse because we think maybe he was sick or dying or something because he didn't act like, I think of a rattler as kind of being like curled up and like rattling, and he didn't rattle. But she said that sometimes they play dead and that you shouldn't try to walk around it because they could then jump up and attack you.
Last night when I was telling my mother-in-law about it, she sometimes gets snakes. Now, not rattlesnakes, but she sometimes gets snakes in her yard. And she did confirm that they'll do that. They'll stop moving. Like if they're slithering along and they hear something or they sense something, they'll just stop and they will play dead. So I think that lady was probably right. I'm like, she's from here. She knows more about this than I do.
But, so we made the right decision to just stand there until the snake decided it could mosey on its way.
Exactly.
I guess. Okay. Well, it was a lovely hike. That was on the last day. And we saw the La Brea tar pits, which was very cool. If you don't know what it is, which Carrie, you did not know what it is until I suggested we visit. I read a book about it when I was a kid and have been sort of fascinated ever since. But there are these big pits of basically naturally occurring asphalt. Think of sort of like a quicksand, but it's asphalt, right? And in the Ice Age, large animals like woolly mammoths and things like that would get caught in it. And then other animals would come and try to eat the animal that was dying, and then they get caught too. So like, for instance, dire wolves, they have like 1,600 dire wolf skulls that they have found in the pits there, which is pretty cool. But we also discovered that there are some animals we never knew lived in North America. Like there was an American lion in the Ice Age. Mm-hmm. There was an American camel in the Ice Age. It was a little mind-blowing, actually, but it was very interesting. So, and we also saw the Hollywood Walk of Fame and Big Bird star, you know, on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
That's right. That's right. And we had a drink at the historic Roosevelt Hotel. So.
Well, on another note, you know, I don't know, a month or so ago, we had an episode with two authors who had recently written Jane Austen Reimaginings. A.H. Kim, who is one of those authors, posted on her social media that she was going to be at a book festival in Pittsburgh. It's the Greater Pittsburgh Festival of Books, and that she is going to be on a panel in conversation with Melody Edwards, who is the other author that we had on the show. And she said that that they recently bonded over all things Austen on our podcast. And so I thought that was pretty cool. I'm like, we've been book matchmakers. Can we take a little bit of credit for this budding girl romance? I don't know. I like to think so.
Yeah, I say we do. She gives us credit. I say we take it.
There you go. So if you're in the greater Pittsburgh area, head over to that book festival and check out Melody Edwards and A.H. Kim on that panel. What else do we have, Carrie? Andrew Scott is in the new production of Ripley that's on Netflix. And you saw something recently about how he's doing another book thing.
Okay, so Andrew Scott is doing an adaptation of 1984 in a podcast series, podcast adaptation. And Tom Hardy and Andrew Garfield are also going to be in it. He plays O'Brien. Ooh, that's
mysterious and dangerous, O'Brien. Mm. Now, here is the downer, the bummer for me, is that this is an Audible exclusive, and that means that the only way to access it is to subscribe to Audible through Amazon, which I do not like. I hate it when they do, exclusive stuff and make me want to buy their service, which I do not want. So I will probably never listen to it because I do not have Audible, but I do think that is a cool thing.
Let me tell you, we are getting through Ripley. I think we have two more episodes left, and he is so good. He's so creepy as Ripley. Like, I know you can't imagine him in like a villainous role, but he is so creepy.
There's part of me that is like, I don't know if I want to watch it because I don't know if I want that vision of him in my head of being creepy, because in my head, he's just such an affable guy. And I don't know if I want to go there. I don't know if I want to go there with him.
All right. Well, it's good.
Okay. Well, I think that it's about time to hear from Marilyn and Sammy. We are going to be seeing them in just a couple days. We've had several weeks of meeting wonderful bookish people, you know, through the podcast, which is awesome. That's one of the things I love about this podcast.
they might be like Jennifer, and, you know, Jennifer's like, whew, I'm so glad they live in Kentucky. I'm so glad it's a 5-hour flight.
Well, you know, in this episode, they invite us to go to the Derby with them and join their traveling book club remotely. Once, you know, they meet us, they'll think, oh, we dodged a bullet with that.
Yes, one. They will quickly be like, oh, we never should have said that. I mean, with me, I mean, I'm never going to, you know, that's not going to happen. I am not a joiner. I am not a social person. But you are like, well, maybe I could join that book club.
Maybe I could try to join that book club that's based in Denver, even though I live in Louisville, you know.
Yeah, sure. What's stopping you?
Yeah. All right. Let's hear from the Divine Destinations book club.
So this week on the show, we have two guests who bring together two of my all-time favorite things, travel and books. And we're so excited that they're here. So we have Marilyn Robbins and we have Sammy Lean, and they're going to talk to us about their travel book club. Thanks for joining us, Marilyn and Sammy.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. My first question is, do you all have a name? Does your travel book club have a name?
Well, it's gone through a lot of names, but we finally settled on one, Divine Destinations. It's because one of our founding members just died of cancer, but our last trip before she died, the last trip that we went on, she said, traveling with family is fun, but traveling with your friends is divine. So we've changed our book club to Divine Destinations. So
that's awesome. Well, for all those people out there who are thinking, okay, so it's not just that they read books about traveling, they're actually going somewhere. So explain to us the way your book club works.
So I feel like I'm still kind of a newbie because I came in a couple of years ago, but when did you get founded?
Probably about 5 years ago.
5 years ago. The whole premise is we pick a location and then all of the books for the following year are themed or tied to that location somehow. So for instance, this year, we're going to the 150th Kentucky Derby.
Yay!
Thanks to Marilyn. She nudged everybody on that one. But all of our books are tied to the area, whether it be the author grew up there, it's set there.
For Kentucky, we're also doing horse books.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've added, besides the destination, kind of the event.
And so then you go and you visit sometime during that year as a group.
As a group.
So how many people are in the book club?
It fluctuates. We have around 13 right now, but not everybody travels for various reasons. And it's not a requirement to travel. And some people travel and don't read the books. So it's just whatever is working for you.
So it sounds like it's pretty flexible.
It is.
I noticed too, like just the pictures, I feel like there's three people that have gone on every trip. And then there's kind of like ins and outs. Like some people I think are very attracted to a location, and so they get really excited. The Kentucky Derby was a little bit of a different animal because there's so much more planning that goes into being able to go to that event. And it's also, you know, a different price point too, where this year it was like a little bit higher budget than some of the other trips that have been planned. But I feel like, you know, if it's on your bucket list, you just figure out how to make it happen. So,
right.
But even the people that aren't going to the Kentucky Derby with us, they're still reading the books and they're still supporting us.
When do you start actually discussing the books or the place that you're going to read about the following year? How many months in advance does this start? Because I would think that takes, you know, you have to find the books, I guess. Do you have all this planned before the year starts?
Well, the first year, it was kind of Nicole Sullivan, who's the owner of Bookies. It was her brainchild, and she had originally picked Charleston. And she had set up that a travel agency that would plan the trip. Well, the travel agency came in with this astronomical price and things that we didn't want to do. So we kind of formed our own, because we decided that half the fun of reading the books and going to the place was planning the trip. So that year, the book were chosen for us by Nicole. The next year, she suggested for us to go to read Steinbeck for a year. And so we read him and we went to California. We did have to wait on that trip because of COVID. The next year, we were actually going to go to Salem and read witch books for a month. Mm-hmm. And then somebody suggested, you guys are crazy. You need to go down to Key West where it's nice and warm. And Judy Blume has her bookshop.
Yeah.
And we didn't even know Judy Blume had a bookshop in Key West. So then we planned books, including hers, for that trip.
They met Judy.
We did get to meet.
Hang out with her.
We did.
It was right when her movie came out, too. So it was like amazing timing. It was awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was so thrilling. And so people have always kind of suggested the places where we're going. This time I had just happened to read Horse and thought we need to go to Kentucky. And even though the trip is in May, we're already picking our next destination after that. And we're already picking books. And I think we're going to go to Michigan, Mackinac Island. And so we're picking the books for that right now. So we do pick the books before.
So we set a book a month over a year. So I think probably when we get around to book 10 or 11, we start talking about locations so that we can set up once we wrap up that year, basically.
Right.
Do you pick the locations? Is it sort of a democratic process? Like you vote on it, or how does it work?
It's democratic, but we've always just automatically agreed to a location. The biggest discussion was Salem versus Key West. And that was, the other trips have all fallen in and everybody said, oh yeah, let's go, let's go, let's go.
I think automatically when you slap travel on the book club, you're going to attract the kind of people that are adventurous and willing mm-hmm. to try different things. And so nobody's been crazy, like opposed to anything. And everyone's honestly just kind of happy to go on a trip. Mm-hmm. So it's weird. I feel like we're just all on a group text chat and we work it out and figure it out. But yeah, nobody's ever been like, no, I'm definitely not going there.
Right.
So. Well, I want to know a little bit about the makeup of the group. And I understand that most people in this group have something in common except for you, Sammy. So what is that?
I always say I'm like the odd man out, but everybody happens to have currently or has had a career in education. So most everybody is a current teacher, a retired teacher, or a librarian. I am not, but I am a book publicist. So I am like in the book world all of the time. But yeah, I always am like, I'm kind of an odd man out, but it's so cool that teachers are just naturally great at seeing people's skills and what they're great at. So even like assigning different jobs for planning the trip or figuring out books, it's a team effort. There's no, you know, like when you had group projects in college and there's always like one person that did all the work. Everybody yeah. slacked off.
And like slackers.
Right.
There are no slackers in our group. Like everybody is on top of things, which is so cool.
There's a lot of respect and a lot of trust for each other.
And so what kind of age range are we talking about for this? And are you all local or is it more of like a virtual thing?
No, we're all local to the Denver area.
Age would be like...
Sammy's the youngest, but the rest of us are in our 60s and 70s.
Okay. So
Sammy is 40s.
Would you say that a good proportion of you are retired?
Yes.
Okay. I guess I think about, you know, my husband and I say when we retire, we're going to travel everywhere, you know, because suddenly you have more time to do such a thing. Was that in the mix at all?
You know, when I go back to the very original, when Nicole had just marketed it through the bookstore as a travel book club, there was all kinds of people from different occupations and different ages. It's just when we broke off, when we didn't want to use the travel agent with it, it's where that commonality came together. But we have had other people of other occupations that have joined us for a little bit, but haven't stuck with the group.
So okay. I'm just really scrappy then. I have a 5 and a 2-year-old and I'm married. Wow. And so I am certainly not in a place to just flit off, but I do.
Well, you need a break.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But that's the other thing. We kind of keep the trip to just a long weekend. We only go for 4 days, 5 days at the most. And we do look at any time of the year. So we don't necessarily have to keep it for a summer trip or a spring vacation trip. So we can kind of go when it works best for everyone.
Besides the travel aspect and the fact that you're reading books about your destination for the year, does it work like a traditional book club?
Nicole Sullivan, that she mentioned that owns the Bookies, was also the owner of Book Bar here in Denver that just closed in January last year. And so we were really lucky to have Book Club at Book Bar because they had such a great community space to meet at. Once that went away, I feel like we kind of jumped around a little bit. We tried different places out. And for now, we've just set everything up at, are you guys familiar with Alamo Drafthouse? It's like a super awesome movie theater chain. So we tend to meet there. And that one's fun because they have food and drink. It's kind of a good central location for everybody based on where we are in the metro area. And if you want to stay after book club and go to a movie, you're already there. So that's awesome.
Oh, Carrie, and for other listeners who may not know what an Alamo Drafthouse is, I've been to them when I've been in Austin, Texas, but it's basically like I know it more as a movie theater, but a movie theater where they will serve you food and drinks and things when you watch your movie. And I'm not just talking popcorn. I'm talking like burgers and sandwiches and salads and, you know, wine and beer and, you know, all that. While you're watching your movie. But it sounds like the one that you have there must have like its own little cafe.
It does have its own restaurant and bar, which they run trivia nights and all kinds of other activities besides just. So it's really a community center.
This upcoming meeting we have, we're actually meeting before a comedy show, basically. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So we're flexible.
That's cool.
COVID kind of stopped us from going to houses. So during COVID, we did meet over Zoom, and then we were just trying to get a central location for everybody.
Talk to us a little bit about the books. You said you're coming to the Kentucky Derby in May. What type of books do you have sort of lined up for the year?
Well, I do a lot of the book choosing for our group. This year, I was struggling finding Kentucky books, so I actually wrote to a couple of independent bookstores, and one in Louisville and in Lexington, and they sent back some wonderful titles. And then there's a children's author that lives in Colorado Springs that writes a lot of children books about horses. And so I asked her, and she sent her favorite adult books about horses.
Yeah, well, I can see Amy is probably scribbling madly a whole list of books that you all should immediately add to
the
list.
Thank you. Okay. Even if we do have all 12 books picked, we do have the flexibility to kick one out if we don't like one. Sometimes people go on a different tangent and read supplemental books. One of our members wanted to read Black Beauty, and which is the children's book, and she read it and she said it's horrible and she can't believe it's a children's book. And she said, because it was so gruesome, she said that should not have been children's from that age. So. And then we read a biography on Abraham Lincoln, and I was so fascinated with Mary Todd Lincoln that I started to read a couple of biographies on her.
We have it on our list to go visit her house near Lexington while we're there.
Yes. And the horse that they talk about in the book, Horse, you should definitely go to the Kentucky Horse Park and the Museum of the Horse. Okay. Yeah, because they have a skeleton. List. Yeah. They've got the skeleton.
Yeah. Yeah. That's on our list. Yes.
Yeah. I'm sure you probably knew that, but I'm not sure everybody knows that. And I'm not sure that the specific portrait that they talk about in the book is there, but there is a portrait of Lexington there.
Cool.
So. Love that book. I have to say, we always try to choose a hotel or an inn that's it's unique to that area, so not a chain. And we are staying in, oh, I forget the town. It's a little bit further on from Bardstown, but it's the childhood home of Phil Sims.
Very cool.
So it's not in Bardstown, though, you said?
No, it's right beyond that.
It's 15 minutes.
The Maple Hill Manor.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of that one. Oh, it's Springfield.
I saw an article at the doctor's office one time, like during Christmas, about Bardstown and how incredible it is at Christmas time. And I'm like, I want to go there. So I'm trying to rope people into going to that like big barbecue they do the Sunday after the Derby. Have you guys ever done that?
No, mm-hmm. I didn't. I don't know anything about that.
I was born and have lived in Louisville my whole life, and I have never once been to the Derby. And I think that's
coming. You should go with us.
Yes, you want to come?
We have literally spent a year reading these books. We have spent a year getting our hats and our dresses and our shoes. And
well, we definitely want to meet you all when you come, but I don't know that we can afford to go to the Derby because it is pricey. A secret is most locals don't go to the Derby. They go several days before that. Like the day before Derby is called the Oaks, and that's when a lot of the fillies run. And so that's a big day for locals to go. And then on the Thursday before, it's called Thurby, and it just keeps moving back because the races have gotten so popular.
It's more a place to go be seen, basically, which I'm totally about, with a fabulous hat and dress.
I was going to say, you have to make sure you have a hat. You must have a hat.
Yeah.
You must. That's part of the fun of it, though. We've been searching.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to get this train back on the track here. When you discuss the books that you've chosen for the year, do you primarily talk about the setting, and has your idea of setting changed over time as a result of visiting these different destinations?
I feel like since we put the setting right up front by picking the location, that we don't focus on the setting
much.
We kind of talk about all the plots and the themes running throughout the different stories and the characters and just how it made you feel. I thought that was such a good question because it made me realize we don't really talk about it. Which we should, because it's location, but it's
no, but it's definitely, I think it's definitely the story that we focus on.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose in some ways, like the setting is going to speak for itself once you get there. But I'm the type of person who, when I travel, you know, on our summer vacations or wherever, I like to read a few books before and during my trip set in the place that I go. And it makes me feel like I'm kind of immersing myself in it.
Right, exactly.
And so you're doing that, but just on like a much grander scale.
Right. Yeah.
Because you're doing 12 months of that. Do you ever get sick of reading books about your destination over 12 months before you get there?
No, I think we have such a good variety.
Yeah.
We try to do a classic. We do nonfiction and fiction. We do a young adult book. We do a child's book, you know, a new release.
Even like Lincoln's biography. And then we have Ann Patchett on our list.
Right.
Horse, we have Seabiscuit.
Yeah, and I think it's the variety that keeps mm-hmm. us from poking yourself in the eye.
Yeah, like, oh my gosh, if I have to read another book about Key West, I'm going to shoot myself. That didn't happen.
Exactly.
I was just going to say, like, I feel like Key West had a little bit of that because there was only so much books.
Key West did not have a lot of books that are set there. That are a quality literature book, I should say.
I'm guessing there's a lot of like mysteries and
there was, yes.
Yeah, things like that.
Yeah.
Or Hemingway.
Yes, or Hemingway.
Everything
right.
But Hemingway. Yeah. So I know with myself, I mean, for the most part, I think if you like to travel, when you get there, you're like, oh, wow, it's new and it's so different from where you come from or whatever. You can find something you like about it. But has there ever been in the years that you've done this where either, you know, you get there and you're like, I'm not loving this location. Like maybe you love the books more and the location didn't kind of do it for you, or vice versa. The books you were like, meh, but you love the location. Maybe Key West was like that.
The year that we did Steinbeck, I was not thrilled about that. I had never been required to read him in high school or college, even though I was an English minor, which is shocking to me now.
I don't think I did either. And I was an English major. You know, I think there's always holes in your, you can't read everybody.
Yeah. So I wasn't thrilled about reading him for a year. And I wasn't thrilled about a California trip to see where the books are set. Then a pandemic happened and we couldn't go on our trip. So then we did a year of San Francisco books. So when it came time that we could travel, I was so disappointed that nobody wanted to go to San Francisco but me. But we ended up just going to Pacific Grove, California, which is where Cannery Row and all of the books are. And it was the most fabulous trip. And I am so glad I read Steinbeck for a year. I'm so glad we went. We had lunch in his childhood home. It got to see the room he was born in. We walked in his footsteps. We found his grave. It was the most delightful, simple, but wonderful trip. I would have to say that trip was life-changing for me.
Oh, wow. That's a great story.
And I'm so glad we did not go to San Francisco. Because it would have been a totally different trip.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I know, Amy, the two of us, once a year we try to go on a little trip. And we went to the Columbus Book Festival this past summer. Whose house did we go to, Amy? Now I'm blanking on it.
Thurber, James Thurber.
It was so fascinating. I think that seeing where a writer came from, where they grew up or whatever, it adds something to your understanding of their work. And I think it's so cool.
And we loved Hemingway's house and his writing studio and the typewriter where he would carry on, you know, to the war with him and seeing all of that and the six-toed cats and and then meeting Judy Blume. I mean, it was amazing. When we wanted to meet Judy Blume, we did not just show up. We did write to her publicist ahead of time and said, this is when we're going to be there. And she was actually off that week getting ready for the premiere of Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. But she came in specially just for us, and she spent a good half hour, 45 minutes talking with us. So,
it's
doable. Yeah.
Just because you're in a book club with people, that doesn't, traveling can be dicey. People have different travel personalities. And so how do you sort of manage that? Does everybody have their own room, or how do you do that so that people aren't grating on each other's nerves during the travel?
No, it does come down to, we do choose our own roommates, but there have been people that have not roomed well in the past, but we didn't know about it at the time. Right. It comes out later. I just think everybody is so respectful. We each choose something that we must do on the trip, one thing, and then we all make sure that we all do it. Everybody is assigned a job and we don't complain. Somebody is watching the finances and splitting everything evenly. What else?
I think, like Marilyn said it really well earlier, where, you know, there's a lot of respect and trust in the group. And so when we pair off all the jobs, we just trust it will get done. Kind of like I said to you about like the group project scenario. We all know that we're on it. And we also are all adults where, you know, you travel. It doesn't mean you have to be glued together the whole trip. Mm-hmm. So this will be my first. I was supposed to go to QS last year and then I wasn't able to go. But we do all these activities together. But if we want to split up into different groups or solo and have solo time, I mean, we're all adults. So we can all do that where we're not. I think that's where you get into trouble, where it's like a forced itinerary where you are stuck together the whole trip. And then, you're going to go bonkers because you're getting sick of people.
And we do have a loose itinerary, but we keep it flexible and we don't overplan.
Yep.
So I love this idea so much. And I'm thinking, how could I fit this? How could I fit this idea into my life? So if someone like me wanted to start their own travel book club, what kind of recommendations would you give me or them or whoever wanted to do this? Are there like some, you know, some tips that you've learned along the way that would make it easier?
Well, I do think you have to decide who do you want in the group? Do you want it to be just women? Do you want spouses? We decided no men, no spouses. That if spouse wants to go, you can extend your trip either before or after and do whatever you want with your spouse. I think you have to agree on the type of hotel you're going to stay in. That's the major thing. And ours is that it's always going to be unique to the area, that we don't want to do just a chain.
Mm-hmm. He also had a good tip about you don't have to start with your friends, mm-hmm. because if you have that in common, you'll become friends. And so then you have mm-hmm. new people to reach out to. So, I mean, that's a flexible, open thing too. And I like that idea, because then you don't get like pigeonholed into, oh, it's got to be only specific people that I know. Even like, I'd say, come join us, guys, if you want to jump in on our group. That would be so fun.
How did you find the group, Sammy?
So I'm in book publicity. So I've booked a lot of author events with Book Bar. And Marilyn is the children's book buyer now at Bookies, since Book Bar is closed. And Marilyn has a granddaughter that is about the same age as my kids. And so we would get together weekly during the summer to go do activities. And she started telling me about this book club, and it sounded so like exclusive. And like,
it's not exclusive.
It sounded exclusive. And I'm like, that sounds amazing. And I want to be part of it. And so she invited me, and I felt very lucky and special to be included. And I just kept showing up. And
I think we let anybody come. And the ones that have dropped out, it's been their choice, that they know it's not going to work for them, yeah. either because of time or
life.
Life, yeah. It's
crazy. Just to get like one commitment on the calendar per month. I mean, if you guys know how that is, it could be really tricky.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I don't know. I don't know, Carrie. I think I could maybe make it work. This happens maybe 4 or 5 times a year, where we have a guest on that has a really good idea about something. Like, I think I might be able to make a travel book club happen, because I love this.
You could. It's the best thing I've ever done.
All right. So I want to know, in the years that you've been doing this, are there any books that kind of stand out as just your favorites that you can think of off the top of your head? And maybe they stand out because you read them and then the trip was so good.
I loved reading Pat Conroy books for Charleston.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the hotel we chose was even one that it was mentioned in one of his books. And being on South Abroad after reading this story and seeing the different things that he wrote about. And then the same thing with Steinbeck, in reading Cannery Road and The Grapes of Wrath, and going by the farms in California and seeing still the migrant workers that are picking all of the vegetables. we still talk about, which was your favorite Steinbeck?
What is your favorite Steinbeck?
I love Grapes of Wrath, but everybody else was East of Eden.
Mm. I'm an East of Eden girl myself. Which Pat Conroy did you read that was your favorite?
We all read South of Broad. And then another month, we all picked a different one. And I think I reread My Reading Life by Pat Conroy, which is what the travel agent at that time had said. You've got to read that one.
And that one was your favorite over Prince of Tides?
No, but I just, that's the one I chose to read. No, but we all did Prince of Tides and South Abroad.
I was just going to reiterate Horse by Geraldine Brooks. Mm. I think like after having kids, like going through that and then being a book publicist, I read manuscripts constantly. And so personal reading kind of takes a back seat sometimes. And Horse just reignited my love for reading again. So I've just been like on fire ever since I read that book. So I really appreciate it. It was so good.
And it was my favorite book of the year. I adore that book. Oh,
easy. Yes. Say there's the nonfiction Lexington now that kind of parallels Horse.
Yes. I think the author who wrote the nonfiction book about Lexington lives in Kentucky. Geraldine Brooks does not live in Kentucky, but she came to do publicity in both Louisville and Lexington for that book. If you haven't read anything else by Geraldine Brooks, you should.
Her husband, Tony Horwitz, we read his book for Charleston, Confederates in the Attic.
Yeah,
and so that was kind of eye-opening, is these people that do all of the reenactments. And that was a suggestion, too, for one of our trips, is to go do a World War II reenactment or a Civil War reenactment. So I don't know about that one. We'll see.
So, let me ask one final question. Have you started thinking about what's on the radar for 2025?
Michigan, Lake Mackinac.
I think we're going to do Michigan.
Mackinac.
That's right.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
That's right. Go, that's right.
I think there's a woman in our book club that is from there, and she was thinking like a lighthouse tour.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
It's flying into Grand Rapids and then going up.
Yep.
Lake Michigan.
Michigan is so underrated. It's so beautiful.
Absolutely. It is. It's beautiful. And the weather's so nice in the summertime. You know, it's not too hot, generally speaking. So,
So, I'm excited for that one, too.
Very good.
So this interview has been more like a bunch of girlfriends just sitting around chatting than an actual interview. But that's totally fun. We look forward to you coming to Kentucky for the Kentucky Derby, for your destination extravaganza. And we would love to meet y'all when you come. Now's a good time, I think, for us to take a short break. And we're going to talk about what we're reading. But before we do, we're going to have another book lover tell us about their 5-star read.
Hi, this is Katrina in County Longford, Ireland. My 5-star recommendation is Glorious Exploits by Ferdia Lennon. I've seen people comment that this is the book you didn't know you needed in your life, and I wholeheartedly agree. Set in Sicily during the Peloponnesian War, it's so unique, unlike anything I had read. And yes, you're thinking, here's another book set in the ancient Greek world, but you'll be wrong assuming you've read something like this before. I love this book because of Lampo, our narrator. He is an outrageous character, someone to love and hate in equal measure. And yet for all his bravado and crassness, his capacity to love his fellow man is cathartic. And that's its message, its themes, brotherhood, respect, putting yourself on the line for nothing more than the connection you feel for another. It's a really wonderful book and I hope people enjoy it.
We are back with Marilyn Robbins, Sammy Lean from the Divine Destinations Travel Book Club. And I am here with Carrie, and we're going to talk a little bit about what everybody has on their nightstand. So, Carrie, what have you been reading recently?
Well, I just finished a book today. It's called Friday Harbor, and it's by DC Alexander. And he was actually a guest on the show way back in April 2020. So that was episode 43, which it's hard to remember that far back. But at that time, he talked about his book, Blood in the Bluegrass, which was set in Kentucky. But this latest book, and I admit that I was a little hesitant to read it because it's 429 pages. And so I was worried that it would, you know, take a long time to finish it. However, I flew through it. It's a historical mystery, and it is set on San Juan Island off the coast of Washington State. And so since we're talking about setting, if you ever decide that you want a book set in that area between Seattle and Vancouver, I would recommend this book. The story is set in 1922, and it starts with 4 characters. So a young girl who has to leave her home in China. And then there's a father-son fisherman duo who are up to no good and potentially running booze during Prohibition. And then there's also a young sheriff on San Juan Island named Miles, who soon learns that what looks like an abandoned boat has been found. When Miles checks the boat out, he discovers words from the Bible, a Chinese symbol, and lots of blood. Who's been killed and why? When other people in the community go missing or are found dead, the stakes become even higher for Miles. He's a young sheriff who doesn't really have his heart in this position. So again, I loved the setting of this book. I found it completely interesting. I think DC actually worked in that part of the country for many years. The book talks about prohibition, but I also love that it discussed labor issues of the time and the hatred that people had in that area towards Chinese immigrants. And so it talks about that and the racism. So I love it when a story gives you a little slice of history that doesn't get much coverage. And this is one of those books. So again, I highly recommend Friday Harbor by D.C. Alexander.
Very good.
Yeah. Okay. Who wants to go first? Marilyn or Sammy? Duke it out.
I will. The book that I'm halfway through right now is actually Mary, Mrs. Abraham Lincoln by Janeth Cook Newman. And it's because of Kentucky and reading about Abraham Lincoln that I was so wanting to know more about Mary Todd. And it actually starts when she is in an insane asylum, put there by her son, her oldest son. And here's a woman that has lost her husband. He's been assassinated. She's lost two of her kids to horrible deaths. And now she's in a mental hospital, but she tells her life through that. So each chapter she starts with what's happening in the insane asylum, but then it goes from being a child through helping Abraham Lincoln become president and kind of what a rule breaker she was. And instead of staying home and watching the kids and feeding them dinner, she was helping him, you know, learn how to give his speeches and really becoming political when she shouldn't have been. So it is just a fascinating story.
She does seem like she would be a very intriguing first lady to read about because,
right,
you know, she has the reputation of being kind of crazy. But was she really? Sometimes, you know, the press paints people a certain way for reasons, right?
But she was a pretty good shopaholic and had $35,000 in debt of shopping that she did. And that was back in the 1800s. So imagine what that would be now. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, does sound like she definitely had a spending problem.
Right.
Thank goodness she didn't have Amazon, right?
Good thing she wasn't around with internet.
That's right.
All right, Sammy, what about you?
I don't know why. I've been very into celebrity memoirs. So because I do audiobooks, and right now I'm listening to Alan Cumming's Not My Father's Son.
Yeah.
I have listened to that audiobook. Yes.
So good. I called it like on the big event happening in the book. I was like, I think that this is going to happen, but I mean, I love Scotland, so I love hearing about how he grew up in the area. And then, I mean, the whole premise really is he gets picked up to be on the Who Do You Think You Are show. And so he kind of is encouraged to find out more about his family history. And he revisits all of his trauma with his dad. And the way he even talks about how he addressed it with his family and the trauma. And he's so well spoken and he did it so beautifully. And he has a beautiful Scottish accent. I just really love listening to him.
Yeah, I did think that was a fascinating book.
Yeah, and I thought he has another one, so I might have to check that one out as well.
So this actually leads me to a question that goes back to your book club a little bit. So have you all ever considered doing an international destination?
When we first started meeting, that was one of the rules, is what kind of trips can we do? And one lady says, I cannot do international because my husband would kill me to go without him. So international has been off. Same with Alaska and Hawaii. That there's been a couple of people that said, I cannot go there without them. Mm-hmm. So we've just stuck to the 48 states so far.
Is okay. The person who negated international still in Brooklyn?
Yes.
Okay.
I can tell you later who it is. Ryan Webb. But that doesn't mean we can't do a side trip.
All right. Well, Amy, you're the last one up. What have you been reading?
I am going to talk about a rom-com, which romance is not a go-to genre for me necessarily, but this is our book club pick, and it's called Nora Goes Off Script by Annabelle Monahan. So here's the setup. There's a late 30s something single mom of two kids, lives in rural upstate New York. She's also a writer of Hallmark type movies, and her husband of 10 years leaves her and their kids because he decides that this whole marriage and parenthood thing just really isn't for him. And instead of being devastated, she decides him leaving is one of the best things that could have ever happened to her, that it is a freeing experience, and that she is now sort of unshackled from the anchor that he was on their lives. So even though I don't think she's terribly upset that he left, I think it's always traumatic to be left, you know? And so Nora decides that her first screenplay that isn't a formula romance movie is going to be the story of her husband leaving, and it's called The Tea House. And this movie is actually bought by a major studio. They pump a lot of money into it. It's a big budget film, and they are filming part of it at her home. So the movie stars two of the most sought-after actors in Hollywood playing the roles of herself and her ex-husband. And the male star is named Leo. And after the filming, Leo just decides to spend the night on her porch without her knowledge because he wants to see the fantastic sunset from her porch. And then he offers to pay her $1,000 a night if he can stay in the writing studio behind her house for a week. His mother had just died, and he's trying to grieve and sort of recenter himself. And then I could say, yada, 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 they fall in love, right? But what starts out as a week turns into a month or more. He grows attached to her kids and gives the children the attention that they didn't get from their father. He immerses himself in the life of the town. And then he leaves to negotiate a new movie role. And bam, the conflict happens. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. So romances, like I said, are not my go-to genre, but I do like a good rom-com, and this one checked a lot of my boxes. First of all, our main characters are a little older. They're a little more mature. They're not in their 20s. They're 40 or nearing 40. They don't have the angst of your 20-somethings, and they're a little bit more relatable to me who, you know, I'm 50. And I also love the character of Nora. She's frugal and she's smart and she's completely just herself and she's snarky. And she reminded me a little bit of my co-host Carrie, in fact. And this book was compulsively readable. I read this book in a day in two sittings. And that is virtually unheard of for me. I'm not really a person who binge reads a book. But this novel for me was almost impossible to put down. And if you are sensitive about spice levels, I would say the spice level is pretty low on this book. We know things happen, but they're not really, I guess you would call it a closed door book. So this is a great light read that to me had a little more meat on its bones than some romances. It talks about life after divorce, how to stay down to earth if you're a celebrity, how close should you let a new love interest get involved with your children and in case things don't work out. Those are all things that are brought up in this book. And it's definitely sort of a vacation or a beach read. Again, the name of that is Nora Goes Off Script by Annabelle Monahan.
I've read it. I loved
it. And I liked it.
Carrie even liked it. And Carrie can't stand romance, generally speaking.
Rom-coms, I think, are the best book for audiobooks when you're driving and commuting to work, because you can kind of space out and come back a chapter later and you still know what's going on.
I agree. They're a good one to listen to. A good one to listen to.
Well, Marilyn and Sammy, it has been so fun chatting with you all, learning about your book club, Divine Destinations. I'm so glad it was just really serendipity that Sammy, when you and I were in discussions about PR stuff, that the book club came up. So I'm so glad this worked out that we could chat with you all.
I love it. And I cannot wait to have a bourbon or some other fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
Louisville with you.
Oh, we are going to do the bourbon trail.
We're going to have to get off the air here, and then I'm going to tell you all of my special places that y'all have to go. For show notes for any episode, go to our website at perksofbeingabooklover.com. We're also on Instagram at Perks of Being a Book Lover Pod and on Facebook at Perks of Being a Book Lover. To send us a message, go to our website and click the contact button.
If you enjoyed listening to us each week, let a friend know or write us a review on your favorite podcast platform to help other book lovers find us.
And finally, a huge thank you to Forward Radio 106.5 FM, a grassroots community radio station in Louisville, Kentucky. You can find our show there live or in archives at forwardradio.org.